Grant and Danny on the Fan. You just heard the injury update from out here in Ashburn via Toby in the update. The names starting to pile up on the Commanders. The big one is Johnny Newton. We haven't talked much about the fact that he's got this pec. That sounds bad, by the way. When you get sent to a specialist in New York away from the team, I'm not going to sit here and announce his season over, but that's a significant part of the season at minimum, if not the entire year. So you're talking about a major injury for Johnny Newton that will last into the year. So that's now two, one on each side of the ball. Laremy Tunsil, your left tackle, way more importantly. And then Johnny Newton, who's a depth defensive tackle, but a guy that was a second-round pick in what was going to be a really critical, got to have it, like make or break, where are you, third season in the NFL. And he might miss the majority, if not all, of this season.
That is a bummer. Now, that's the nowhere near as costly, respectfully, to him, and I'm not trying to knock it, as Tunsil. That's the number one dark cloud hanging over the organization right now, to be honest with you, even still to this day. And there's somebody that played at a good enough level that's going to take that spot in Coleman, but still, it ain't Tunsil. It ain't the guy that you gave up everything for, that's got the highest AAV at the position in the sport, one that is now among the two or three most premium positions in football, that left tackle spot or the blindside protector spot, quarterback one, guys that rush the passer, two, catch the passes, three, and 3A is that left tackle spot. And he's the highest paid among those because he's excellent. Newton to me was going to be part of a rotation, kind of the occasional, NASCAR sub package or, part of the undersized group that was going to try to get after you on third and seven. So it's not good that he's not available potentially for a long time, but it's not as devastating certainly as Tunsil.
Yeah, I think on a 1 to 10, Tunsil's a 10. Newton's probably more of a, I don't know, if he misses 2 or 3 games, that's like a 3. If he misses the whole year, I think that's closer to a 6 or a 7 still. Because, this is an important pass-rushing defensive tackle, and depth is the name of the game, right?
Yes, so it is, especially there. Yeah.
Right now, Tim Settle's not practicing. Now, he's going to be ready for week one. I think Quinn said today they're hoping that he'll actually be able to practice next week. But Tim Settle was brought in to be the run stuffer in tandem, almost platooning kind of on running downs with what Johnny Newton does on passing downs. So, neither of those guys is there. And it's the first team nose tackle yesterday was Shy Tuttle. Would you recognize him if he was sitting on your lap?
I would not.
I'm not telling you he can't play. I know they're high on him and they like him. But all of a sudden, that's pretty important. Because when they're in their base, that 34 defense, they've got Javon Kinlaw basically is like a 5-tech rushing against tackles and tight ends, and they got Payne out wide doing the same thing, pushing the pocket a little bit. So they need one of those girthy, big smart cars in the middle. That's where I think someone like Newton's going to rush from. It's where Settle's going to be for sure. That's why they paid him the $7, $8 million that they're going to pay him per year APY. And maybe that opens the door for Byron Coward, who had the great preseason game. I mentioned Ricky Barber earlier today. I thought he was really good against the Dolphins in the first half, one of their standouts. But, yeah, it's a bummer. Those are the only two injuries right now that are definitively going to last into the season. It sounds like the next most serious one, just based on what Quinn has already said on record, would be McNichols, who's still weeks, not days away, a couple weeks away. I'm sure they still hope that he could be ready for the start of the year, but he's right now squarely on the bubble and kind of fighting for a roster spot with some of the young running backs anyway. But it's more banged up, nicked up, just guys that are not feeling 100% healthy than a bunch of players that are injured or hurt, so to speak. But if it does affect what you're planning to do against the Detroit Lions, which is how this is trending, where it now sounds like maybe Daniels and a lot of the starters don't go because they can't afford to play some of these guys with so many injuries, then it doesn't really matter if they're back by week one. It's still ruining your process. It's still, there's a reason you wanted to do A, and you're not getting to do A, you're doing B. That tells me it's the second best plan. It's worse than the A plan, and the injuries are keeping you from doing the A plan. So, ipso facto, that's not ideal.
Yeah, and Warren Sharp just tweeted this. It's sort of tongue-in-cheek, but Rashad White has missed the last couple days of practice after he did an ice bucket challenge and slipped and looked kind of awkward getting up. Is that something? The point is it doesn't seem to be all going according to the plan. Part of that is the NFL, and I think you said it, depth is the name of the game, and you have to build for that. But, it's one of those things. And I saw a rumor that did Allegretti leave practice early today as well. Is that something that happened? And that one's another depth spot.
See,
that's super important.
We'll get details tomorrow. It didn't sound like anything, but I think he did go get some treatment at some point. I saw John Keim tweet about that. A couple other people saw him kind of just go into the tent. But that could be literally any. You could go get taped up.
Get retaped. You could. Yeah.
We could also find out it's something else, but we won't find out till tomorrow.
Yeah, given that he's missed time, that's the only reason my radar is up there, especially at that spot. You know, as we're talking about Daniels playing related to Saturday, you know, can you not afford to have Julian Good-Jones snap the ball to Jaden Daniels at all? What's the deal with that? But yeah, I mean, you're right. This is, you know, and here we are, I would say from my perspective, calling for more intensity, just trying to ramp things up. But yeah, there's also, this is the other side of that. This is the pushback that the org or Dan Quinn or whoever could tell you is, yeah, but look, guys are banged up. Guys are missing days. Guys are hurt, injured, going to see specialists. So it's not all, you know, happening in a vacuum. I'm kind of going, I get that, but last year was so terrible, I would just do the opposite.
Grant and Danny on the Fan brings us to the possibility of the dress rehearsal against the Lions, and where we started the show today discussing Jaden Daniels. Wouldn't it be nice if we were just surprised and we found out via presser tomorrow, Quinn comes out and says starters go for a quarter, Daniels is going to be on the field? We're all seemingly thinking similarly. It feels like everyone in town is now saying Daniels is probably not going to go because of all the reps he got with the second team the last 2 days and because of all the guys that are banged up. But what if they zigged when everyone's zagging here and he actually got extra practice reps and then he plays in the game? That would feel like a departure from last year.
It would.
And a pretty big win in terms of the crowd that wants to see them push the gas pedal down a little bit.
Yeah, I think that would be the paradigm shift. That would demonstrate something. Even though I'll still never get those off days back, the three or four of them, whatever it was, after they played a preseason game in which nobody really played, except for a couple guys that are part of the rotation. I'll never get those back, but at least it would demonstrate some urgency. That's the word that I want to experience and see oozing off of this club heading into this regular season. Urgency, understanding that you cannot afford to get off to a rough start, even though the whole league is set, or this schedule is set up for you to get off to a rough start. It is not a crazy scenario. They could be 0-3. That's not out of the realm of possibility. It's very reasonable, in fact. They'll be underdogs in all three games. If it's to be believed that Dallas is legit, Philadelphia, of course, is still Philadelphia. Maybe, you know, week one you can get a fluky result. And then the defending champs come to town. I mean, this is not a great setup for them to get off to a rip-roaring start. So I'd like to match that urgency of finding a way to tread water there, at least, through the first handful of weeks.
I could be loud wrong on this, but I do think playing the Eagles in week one is going to be a blessing. Now, maybe, you know, I say blessing and you probably lose the game, but I'm just saying playing them in week one instead of week nine.
That makes sense.
For the first time.
It does.
The marriage of Mannion and Hurts could end up being fine. It's not going to be great hitting the ground sprinting, in my opinion. I don't know if you heard today. He threw three picks and looked apparently pretty rough in their joint work with the Patriots. I know that's a damn good team. They made the Commanders look bad last year before we knew that they were good. But that's a strong defense. But three interceptions in practice today, and I know it's practice. Who cares? But I just think that there's a transition happening offensively, and it seems like Hurts operating under center, making some of the throws. They're doing the same kind of thing that Washington's doing here with Blau, and Daniels is a way better fit for it for me. I've seen it with my own eyes, but mm-hmm. In Hurts' case, I'm not watching the practices. But I've watched him for years, throwing outside the numbers toward the sideline. Like, he just doesn't like throwing to the middle of the field. When Jaden came out, one of the things that a lot of us talked about from his college tape was he does not throw to the middle of the field much, which is now years later been confused for he can't throw to the middle of the field. I don't know that many people were saying that as much as he hadn't done it. Hurts, it feels a little bit more like, because of his size, because of his vision over the line, it's not something he's, I don't want to say capable of, but he's going to be good at. Like, Daniels has proven, I can do that. I can layer throws. I can put touch on the ball. I wonder about Hurts in that way. Apparently, it was a struggle today against the Patriots.
Totally fair to wonder. My counter is why I agree with actually everything you've said in terms of your analysis of he and Mannion and how long that might take and that marriage, et cetera. You know, you're still a pretty well-built roster with an excellent offensive line.
Definitely.
Barkley hasn't, like, you know, forgotten how to tie his shoes, and they've gotten off to great starts. There's only one September, I think, over the last handful of years of Sirianni where they've been anything other than 4-0. They've mastered whatever it is. Hey, I think if you have a lot of talent, you're really well built, but they have gotten off to these really, really good starts. It's been second halves where they faltered in the years that they faltered, and I put falter in quotes. They still win 11 games when it's a quote-unquote bad year. When it's a good year, they win 14 and don't falter at all. But there's enough track record there. But I think your point's well seen. I mean, to me, the thing that I'm counting on or hoping for, and this is not a strategy, by the way, is, well, weird stuff happens in week one, and I shrug my shoulders. You know, like somebody that's really good loses to a team that's really bad, happens every week. What was it? Didn't the Patriots last year like lose to the Raiders to start the season? I mean, weird BS happens in week one. That's kind of my best shot here.
The Bengals every year?
Yes. The Bengals always.
That's been one, maybe not last year, but like the 3 years before that was definitely a thing.
Yeah, they lost to those Patriots who were terrible a couple years ago.
Don't get me wrong. The Eagles should be favored, especially their defensive front against Washington's offensive line is the biggest like mismatch of the matchup, so to speak, of the entire game. So I would imagine their defense will do a nice job getting to Jaden Daniels and putting pressure on him. And I don't think Washington's hanging 40 in that first game necessarily. But I guess my point is, I just think it'll be a good chance for this defense to start quick. They'll be in that game probably in a way maybe that people don't anticipate. In that practice, the Patriots, the Eagles today, A.J. Brown was going toe-to-toe with the team that he was at odds with in Philly all of last year with the Eagles. You'll hear from him as we go around the NFL next on Grant and Danny.